Not My Family is a highly fictionalized, loosely autobiographical narrative that describes generational bad will, poor choices, financial malfeasance, and even murder. The generational craziness is propagated like a tidal wave threatening to drown everything in the deluge. Secrets are buried deep in lies, pacts sealed in blood. The truth concealed unto death, just to exert some control. I personally hate rubberneckers. It's kind of like, or this book is kind of like rubbernecking. The 30-mile pileup or 30-car pileup on I-75. You want to look away, but you're drawn to the carnage. Join me as the protagonist progresses along self-discovery and she recreates her identity and she discovers how to go home again. Not My Family can be purchased at FeliciaBaxter.com or directly from the author. Just navigate to Facebook, look up Dale's Angels Inc. and click buy now for your autographed copy. Now, let's return to the podcast.
God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Healthy as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark down away. Giver of immortal hands, fill us with a light.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Tennessee Froward's Reading. Hi, I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. In this week's episode, we will be discussing one of my best and most exciting parts of the segment. It's called Black Excellent and Just National Cool. I will be discussing the 2020 Democratic nominations for the race for the presidency, and who I'm giving the side eye to, what I will be talking about as far as podcast reboots and just random-ish chatterbooks and my own reads, and finally, the affirmations and the conclusions. And thank you again for joining me, and I hope this will be a positive addition to your day. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the podcast. This week in Black Excellent, I'm giving big ups to the two gentlemen that coaxed a little five-year-old in New York City out from under the subway. What I found concerning is the fact that in an apparent suicide attempt, which was successful, this little girl's father jumped in front of a plane, and it looks, and I hate to say this, it looks by all intents and purposes, he was trying to take this little girl out with him. But by the grace of God, it was just wasn't her time, and she was able to be rescued. So big ups to these two young gentlemen, and I'm so sad about the state of this guy that he would not only want to end his life, but also a life that hadn't even, he attempted to end the life of someone that her life hadn't even fully begun. I think she has a calling on her life, and I hope she lives up towards it, because it just was not her time. I also give big ups to de Blasio, number one, because he dropped out of the Democratic candidate race for president, but also because of two other things. He's actually, they're getting ready to close up for good Rikers Island because of all the corruption, and it just needs to be closed. He recognizes that the public school system has become a conduit directly to the prison system. So not only is he closing up one of the most notorious prisons in the United States, he's actually also taking the cops out of the schools because he wants to end that that travesty. Big ups to Mayor de Blasio. And national, and that goes for the segment on National Cool. Next up is what I like to call podcast reboot and just random-ish. I listen to a lot of podcasts as of late because I'm finding that if you want to be entertained and be entertained by people that look like you, it seems that there are many positive and very entertaining podcasts out there with an Afrocentric slant, including mine. And what it means is we, in the podcast realm, we are, it's our time, and it just means freedom. The top podcasts that I think that are out there are The Black Guy Who Tips with Rob and Karen. The CD Effect, that's actually taped and broadcast from New York. And it's cool because not only did my cousin tell me about it, she actually is one of the contributing panelists with that particular podcast. Medium Popcorn is another one that she has hit me to. It's basically movie reviews by two goofballs, black guys. They were talking about Dirty Dancing this past week, and it is hilarious. Ratchet and Respectable, I actually found out about that through, I believe, is Black Girl Nerds, that particular podcast. And of course, there are two podcasts that have influenced me greatly. In particular, The Read. I haven't listened to that podcast this week because they changed it up to Tuesday now that they're getting ready to have their own late night show on Fuse, as well as The Breakfast Club. Some are more radical and a little bit hard-biting than others. The Read and Breakfast Club, they are pretty mean. But I find all of those entertaining, in addition to things like Kenny Say That from the Washington Post and the book review from the New York Times, because I try to read both of those, in particular the New York Times. I try to read that paper almost every, at least every week. For the single girl sports pages, which is affectionately known as Wedding Announcements in the Style section, as well as the book review. That is my guilty pleasure. And also this week, Oprah, and this has something to do with literature because this is the whole premise of my podcast. You know, I actually talk about books. I read my own stuff. And I also talk about, I would like to basically focus on what's going on in the book realm as well as popular entertainment. But this is one of the only things I've mentioned this week that actually has to do with book clubs and books. And Oprah has announced her relaunching of her book club through Apple. And with the book selection of Ta-Nehisi Coates' Water Dancer, and a reading from his book is going to actually not only end this segment of the show, but is also going to usher in the announcement of a small reading is also going to be in the next segment of What My Read. So, introducing the brother, Ta-Nehisi Coates, the Water Dancer. And this is just from Amazon, the description of the book itself. It says, from the National Book Award winning author of Between the World and Me, a boldly conjured debut novel about a magical gift, a devastating loss, and an underground war for freedom. It highlights young Hiram Walker, who was born into bondage when his mother was sold away. Hiram was robbed of all memory of her, but was gifted with a mysterious power. Years later, when Hiram almost drowns in a river, that same power saves his life. This brush with death births in an urgency in Hiram and a daring scheme to escape from the only home he's ever known. So begins an unexpected journey that takes Hiram from the corrupt grandeur of Virginia's proud plantations to the desperate guerrilla cells in the wilderness, from the coffin of the Deep South to dangerously idyllic movements in the North. Even as he's enlisted in the underground war between slavers and the enslaved, Hiram's resolve to rescue the family he left behind endures. This is a dramatic story of an atrocity inflicted on generations of women, men, and children, the violent and capricious separation of the families, and the war they wage to simply make lives with people they love. Written by one of today's most exciting thinkers and writers, The Water Dancer is propulsive, transcendent work that restores the humanity of those from whom everything was stolen. That's deep, y'all. And a little bit of a read from itself, the book itself, I should say. It starts out with the saying from Frederick Douglass. My part has been to tell the story of the slave, the story of the master never wanted for narrators. And I could only have seen her there on the stone bridge, a dancer wreathed in ghostly blue, because that was the way they would have taken her back when I was young, back when the Virginia earth was still red as brick and red with life. And though there were other bridges spanning the River Goose, they would have bound her and brought her across this one, because this was a bridge that fed into the turnpike, that twisted its way through the green hills and down the valley before bending in one direction, and that direction was south. I have always avoided that bridge, for it was stained with the remembrance of the mothers, uncles, and cousins gone Natchez way, meaning those sold south, I believe. But knowing now the awesome power of memory, how it can open a blue door from one world to another, how it can move us from the mountains to meadows, from green woods to fields caked in snow, knowing now that memory can fold the land like cloth, and knowing too how I had pushed my memory of her into the down there of my mind, how I forgot but did not forget, I know now that this story, this conduction, had to begin there on that fantastic bridge between the land of the living and the land of the lost. That's deep, bro. I can't wait to read and get more into the story because that's just the beginning of the narrator. I'm sure it's this little kid, Hiram. And I'm expecting good things. And it also gives me encouragement how well received his and several of the other books that I've been reading lately, how well they're received. He was just on CBS with Oprah this week. I'm hopeful that I will get at least a modicum of his type of fame and positive reception as I endeavor to create and to create my own works of written words as and also as I pump up others as I write for them. What else was I going to say? And I'm learning as I continue to learn and get ideas of how I can improve my work. Because I think I heard Mr. Coates say on the news this week that the first version of his book he thought was crap, and he's glad he went back and he rewrote it. Because this, it's like your work is never finished, but this was as close as he could have gotten and something he himself could have actually been proud of. And I guess that's what, as a writer, that's one of the things that you first, you just have to write, but also you always seek to improve. Also, it's right along the theme of what I wrote myself as far as the meaning of family and what home actually is. And all the books that I've written or read recently, I'm rereading my own book because I'm actually getting ready to do a relaunch, massive rewrite and editing, and why I'm doing those certain things, and what a publicist should do that actually read the book. One, I want to make the book worth reading, but long story short, the actual drive of my book, as well as the Yellow House, my sister, the serial killer, I'm telling the truth, but I'm lying. All of those had to do with the human psyche, as well as how you deal with family and being happy and whole. And I'm thinking this book is going to be right along that type of theme. And why it's going to be important for me to improve on my own work, and to continue to flex my creative mind as far as writing, because I'm reading so many different things right around the same theme, but are said so much better than what my own work has said, and but it's right along the thematic string that is what is family dynamics and relationships, and I'm excited about that. And that's how I'm going to end this particular segment of the podcast about celebrating positive Afrocentric creativity, as well as the relaunch of Oprah's Book Club, and also just talking about Ta-Nehisi Coates' new release of The Water Dancer. And hold tight and stay tuned to the last part of the show. As I become more and more, and I get paid more and more to work, I get to practice my craft in many different ways. I've published my own book. I update my blog, And I also publish this podcast. But what's going to keep it all moving smoothly is when I get other paid assignments. Well, I wrote this copy for a very useful cleaning device that I first became aware of when I stayed with a colleague of mine in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I had no idea that the company or the manufacturer, they're manufactured right down the road in Dalton, Georgia. But it's a great, a very perfect addition to any cleaning buff or OCD person. It's called Peachy Clean. And I am going to read you the copy that I wrote because I'm kind of proud of it. And then I thought it was actually pretty good. I'm what you could call a self-described scrubaholic, which makes my relationship with the Peachy Clean scrubber a bit eccentric, but that makes sense because a scrubber does have a personality disorder. It looks like a sponge, but kicks butt as a heavy-duty scrubber. The lattice work of the silicone gives it the feel of a sponge and allows it to hold soap and water more readily. It also gives it the durability that keeps it from permanently damaging your ceramic stove tops or scrape that unique non-stick surface on expensive cookware. And when it's paired with the non-abrasive disinfectant, it makes quick work of the soap and scum in your bathroom. And you ever notice that stench emanating from that sponge like the dust from Pig Pen in the Peanuts cartoon? It's the perfume made up of the byproducts of mildew and pathologic bacteria that are having a love fest in the sponge. The bacterial brothel, yes, I stole that from a different writer, raging within those holes and crevices of traditional sponges that make them absorbent are the condos of salmonella, slime-causing, smelly, dangerous organisms. But the Peachy Clean scrubber with that silicone matrix allows it to scrape off burnt food and particles, rinse away pesticides, all without leaving a sticky film. It is one of the best on the market and economical, with benefits of durability with pots and pans scouring, but also soft enough not to scratch up your delicate surfaces or bruise your fruit and vegetables. Repeat cleaning will get you about 2 or 3 months of odor-free, heavy-duty usage. It's so reasonably priced that you'll easily be able to replace it. And literally, it's locally sourced, y'all. It's right down the road from Chattanooga in the state of Georgia. For those of us that require an A+ health department grade cleaning of our kitchens and bathrooms, this guaranteed odor-free scrubber paired with surface-specific cleaning solutions is the one to beat. So join other scrubberholics as we keep it clean and keep it fresh with Peachy Clean Scrubber. Now, back to the podcast. It appears that the 2020 race is becoming into more clarity with Elizabeth Warren gaining a sizable lead or increase in her standing in the polls. She actually has pulled it ahead of JoJo Biden with Bernie at a close third. Pete Buttigieg, which I still love his name, is still in the news. Not for a Medicare for all stand, but also for a Medicare for all that want it, giving those of us that have private insurers and like their private insurance an option to opt out. And I keep and I'm just amazed at his qualifications. He's openly gay. He's actually married, a Rhodes Scholar, and a Roar vet. You can't make this kind of guy up. And Elizabeth Warren is helping me to define what a progressive Democrat is. It means someone that stands for the what constitutes a member of the party, but will change up on a dime if the policy or the belief is not or needs to be edited, and will work with you to develop those policies and those statements and those beliefs to help to be more inclusive. Maybe I'm defining myself more as a progressive Democrat instead of a liberal or a conservative. I'm right kind of in the middle, and she's helping me to define that. And for that, I'm grateful. Who am I giving a side eye to? Well, it seems like everyone is talking about Antonio Brown and him finally being cut from the Patriots, because you can't. It's so stupid. He was yammering. He's been talking about Roethlisberger. He's been talking about Kraft, the head of the New England Patriots, and how there's a double standard in our society in the NFL. The bottom line is, dumbass, you know there is a separate duality as standing, especially if you are a black man, and it does not care. Nobody gives a crap how much money you do make. What you do not do is you don't harass people, and then you don't go on social media and harass them even more. Donald Trump, Kraft, and any of these guys can probably get away with it because you know why? They're different than you. And you're black, they're white, sorry. You just don't need to cut the fool. That's all we are trying to say. Also, in the news, and who I'm giving a side eye to, is this Jared William Smith, the guy, the army dude that is sharing bomb-making recipes online like you're not being watched. You just get the jackass award. The Orlando police officer, Dennis Turner, the brother that arrested the 2 6-year-olds, you get the jackass award. And Chanel Miller's rapist, Brock Turner. I can't believe they actually caught this dude on camera raping this girl, and he only got 6 months and served 90 days in the county jail. Eventually, it did change the law, and judge that sentenced him was eventually recalled or removed. But it was ridiculous that he only got 3 months. Yes, he is a registered sex offender, and I don't think he's working. I think he's with his living in his mama's house in Ohio. So good luck with that. Now, I hate giving any amount of energy to number 45. This administration is just fraught with so much stuff. It can make you hopeless if you really put stock in all of your beliefs in the justice system and in our democracy. There was hope even during both Bush's terms, definitely with Bill Clinton, and definitely even more so with President Obama. But this administration has taught us in the last several days, has really taught us just the dichotomy between right and wrong, have and have not, and how much work that needs to be done. But I'm glad I don't base who I am or what I am on the current people in the White House, because I do not want that to be representative of me. I don't want them, these Republicans and their cowardly stance behind someone that is obviously not meant to lead. Maybe they are waiting for it to blow all to hell And they're going to have to revamp the system so we cannot get a clear antisocial or sociopath ever to be elected again, because we need to make some changes from the tax code, maybe something about a whole fit to serve amendment that you need to have. You really need to have something like some type of checklist, because you are kind of stuck supporting someone that is obviously not fit to serve. But with that said, the current talk is impeachment talk is gaining ground again. And I'm not sure why, because impeachment doesn't necessarily mean removal from office. It doesn't necessarily mean censure. It's not going to keep this guy from going out there and still reversing all the gains for the last 20 years and continuing to marginalize huge segments of our society. That's not going to change anything. But what it is going to do is basically widen the rift that's in our government now, and it's going to make bring all the Democrats closer, push for another genuinely brand new party, and also going to propel people to take a closer look at motives and what is truly meaningful and important for this country. And I say that because now we got a whistleblower that has come forward to basically state that this guy was trying to use his undue influence to investigate one of his political rivals. Sounds bad. Does it meet the level of criminality? Not sure. But this assistant grand dragon, Joseph McGuire, the current director of the National Intelligence, didn't seem fit to basically report this to the proper authorities. He jumped over and went right to the White House. Why are they? I don't know. I'm not really a conspiracy theorist, but what this just seems like a cover up, and you basically are not following chain of command. And it just continues to look like y'all are covering up for someone that does not need to, that is not fit to serve. Every time I hear about these things and talk about impeachment and they don't have enough, it has to be bipartisan support, and we know you're not going to get it. What is the cover up? Why are these people going to great lengths to cover up this madman? Does his actions implicate them all? Yeah, probably. So this is so much bigger than anything that Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the Democrats are we're going to be able to fix. It's going to need a top down. I'm only hopeful that we get it together. 2020 is going to be a true showdown. And with it, we got to look at who's coming up for re-election. The only thing I can be hopeful for is that once he and the major grand dragon is out of the White House, his entire cabinet, all of those advisors, everybody that he's appointed, with the exception of the Supreme Court justices, all of them will get their notice, and we can actually start to repair the damage of the last 4 years, if that is at all possible. That's my biggest hope at this point, because I basically stated this today with my team lead. I said, well, it's a wrap for me. If he gets elected for another 4 years, I don't think I could mentally or physically survive or want to. I don't want to be anywhere that is just that screwed up. I don't think I want, I trust, have that much enough trust to be in that type of environment where you can ask foreign people not only to rig an election, but also to investigate and throw shade at your enemies just because you think you can. You can use that shady crap in your business dealings, but you're talking about maintaining the sovereignty of a nation, and you're putting the sovereignty of your nation at risk just for your own gains. Why isn't that illegal? Ethically, morally, but you can't expect anybody to operate within those expectations because those rules don't apply to them. So the only best thing you can is to, they need to be voted out and with his little cronies, and we need to start the work to regain some type of semblance of what we stand for. And that's what I'm hopeful for, but I can't do another 4 years of this nonsense. I'm going to have to become an expatriate somewhere else just for a time, at least to get my own mental and physical strength up. You know, as I go about my daily business, I will be a work from home, but my work from home will have to be offshore because I'm not going to be able to tolerate the nonsense of another 4 years of this dysfunctional government. So, and that ends at this segment of invites to the barbecue and the side eye. Thanks. I love to read, obviously. Therefore, the Tennessee Fro is reading podcast. But for those hard to find titles, navigate to alibris.com. Alibris.com is chock full of hundreds of thousands of titles at a reasonable cost. So navigate to alibris.com/TennesseeFro. For those special deals. Plus, you can also navigate to DalesAngelsInc.com and check out updated daily deals at your pleasure. Now back to the podcast. Welcome to the part of the podcast called My Read and Chatterbooks. As I mentioned in the last part of the podcast, I'm greatly influenced by other authors that have gone the traditional route and have been well received. And I can only hope that I will have as much success as they will. However, I will only have that success if I continue to improve upon my craft as well as continue to read. So, and continue to write and to continue to create. There are other non-traditional means for those indie authors like myself and self-publishing opportunities. I've had success on Fiverr as well as on Vocal Plus. And I'm very, very excited about publishing or having it accept for publication on Vocal Plus because you get paid for how many people read your post. And I'm planning on also reposting one of my things or one of my projects or works on Medium as soon as I figure out how to do that. I don't know if Reddit is the right platform for me. I think it would be it's great to be able to respond to already created threads and as I get better and more confident, then maybe I'll figure out a way to also monetize that. So, and I'm also planning on publishing this segment or this part of the podcast specifically on my book club Facebook page, because I've since found out that other authors have utilized their self-created book clubs also to feature their works. And why not? I think this would go great on the Book Club 2019 as well as on Not My Family's book club. I think it will be well received and not so much a part of the entire podcast because, sometimes I'm just really chatty and not everybody wants to read or listen to that a whole real podcast. So a whole at a podcast in its entirety, I should say. What I'm learning, or what I have learned as far as my experience with the self-publishing realm, is they really are not dedicated to book sales. They give you a minimum amount of support and package, but a lot of the legwork that usually are done by agents and publicists that actually read your books, and whole teams sponsored by an editor, sponsored by the traditional publishing houses, they do a lot of the things that you need that should be done for your work of art. So, with that said, one of the things that I've noticed is with self-publishing is the once you write your manuscript, it is only part of the battle, in all honesty. And the real part, the work begins after you determine that you are some way satisfied with the final or the first version of the product. You have to subscribe to a real editing services. There are whole free clubs and that you can actually subscribe to that can actually help you to with that will really do truly good self-editing. What should not happen is you turn the manuscript in to the services, they keep it for 90 days, and you don't get any response. Because what happens is they basically run it through a program and you still find mistakes and you make additions even after you've paid for those editing services. There are other more pronounced editing services outside of a lot of these indie publishing houses. So I would seriously suggest that you subscribe to those and have it reviewed even before the book drops, because there is a part of the book, an unpublished segment of the book that you can actually submit to podcasts, book reviewers that can give you also helpful hints in how you can improve your book even before it's finally published. And I would suggest that you go to onlinebookclub.com, BookBaby, and some other services and have the book reviewed even before it is formally launched. You should also create and enact your marketing plan even before publication. Having it your book posted in Reader's Digest and New York Times is very pie in the sky, and also can be expensive if you're trying to do it as an indie writer. But there are other things that you can do to actually publicize your book. Getting a true publicist to enact your different strategies to increase your presence on social media platforms. Generic posts are not going to get it. Getting those reposts, those mentions within your own community, and into increasing your followership and looking at the data and making strong recommendations on how to increase your presence and working with you and to make those posts and to get the widest amount of readership as possible is how you're going to, that should entail what a cohesive and positive marketing plan should be. Utilizing Google Ads, your own indie authors, a lot of them have their own book magazines where you can actually have an ad run within them. A publisher is truly dedicated to your work that is tasked to read the book and also influences your post as far as your own media presence and has a general idea and a significant idea about how to increase your presence within the market is going to be key. Doing reviews, getting reviews, having email campaigns as part of your plan, because that's how you're going to get exposure. Getting on and creating email lists is a significantly viable means to increase the exposure of your book. And then having a real book launch, because you should build the whole book marketing part of publishing is to create a buzz and an expectation for the book itself. One of the things I think I have at my disposal is I know how I want to improve my book. I can actually probably improve the book and then completely relaunch it with the same ISBN number and still different costs, because that's the other thing, making sure that the cost is actually realistic at a later date. And that's what I really want to be focused on within the next several months, is really improving the book and actually for my own sanity and from, because I know I can do it because I've been flexing, I should say, for the past 6 months as far as the improvements and additions. The later edition of the book, I think I'm hopeful that it would actually be more improved, but an improvement upon what I've actually already have done. And I'm also planning on working that out with the publisher. I should be able to get a discount on the republication because I'm using the same ISBN numbers. So in this part, as I said, that I'm flexing is because it's not like I'm not writing. I actually am continuing to write because I've been blessed to get little short-term gigs on Fiverr, as well as I want to read for you guys a post of which I plan as a multi-part series for the Vocal platform. This is something I've done for a client. It's called Fall Forward, and it's for an interior designer who's rebooting her brand. It says, every season brings its own excitement and with it, its own inspiration. We are moving into a fall season, and as a designer, I'm genuinely excited. In the design realm of interior design, just redundant. In the realm of interior design, we get to show off those jewel tones, the yellows, the oranges, with the accents and accessories required to revamp your sanctuary. Interior design is all about creating a personalized mood and with those jewel tones with beautiful floor accents. I foresee a sunflower at the center, which means pure thoughts and renewal, or tulips with these subtle colors and declaration of love. You want to exude your mood or set your mood. You want to personify all that makes this season great and make your space not only a sanctuary for you, but inviting and open for visitors if you so choose. Like any creative art, and especially in the world of interior design, the core is cyclical. Your parents' green and orange lamps with the yellow shag rugs are now considered vintage and all a part of the mid-century modern movement in all of its iterations in the interior design world. But based on budget and preference, we will source rugs that honor traditional artistry and contemporary taste. My view is global, with internationally sourced accents, fabrics, design elements from all over the world, fitting the overall theme and wishes of the client. For those of you that are not pack rats, or international hoarders that did not save all those now highly prized pieces. Don't worry, we got you. There's always a possibility to find and assimilate them into your new designs. My vision for you is an idyllic scene with birds chirping as the water falls from that design element while you light up the grill in your revamped outdoor kitchen. As you wait for kickoff for the Dallas versus whomever game that is projected on your retractable flat screen TV in your outdoor theater, with the laughter carried on the breeze to your neighbor's house as they listen and witness your joy in your new entertainment space. I take my inspiration primarily from the wishes and dreams of my clients, but I also draw upon the past to make my clients' current reality something bold, something in line with those dreams. And I'm hopeful after I submit those two revisions that I actually just found by reading it to y'all that it will be acceptable to the client. And then this is something I've worked on for the Wander segment of vocal complete with pictures is Westward Fro Trip. Okay, and this says, you have to hum the next verses to the tune of the Beverly Hillbillies in your head as you sing the following verses to yourself. Here's a little story about a girl with a fro who drove 3,500 miles with an RV in tow. Little did she know she would get caught in snow. A late storm, that is, in April on the Donner Trail in the High Sierras. Well, first thing you know, the story could have ended right there, but she persevered, showed up in Oregon, no worse for wear. Oregon turned out not the place she needed to be, so 8 months later, she picked up her truck and headed back to East Tennessee. Hills, that is, barbecue, candied bacon, single malt whiskey. I want to share the story of my meandering trip across the United States. This is a trip that is the start of the adventures of Westward Fro and then my becoming Tennessee Fro. I will share my experience camping in Reno, late snowstorms and Donner Pass, yes, of the cannibal variety. It would be about tip warnings in Wyoming. It would be about the experience of the Yellowstone soaks and hot springs of Arkansas. It will be about camping in the foot of the giant redwoods and being corrected that the giant drive-through tree in Leggett, California is in fact a giant sequoia and not a redwood by the cranky old manager of the KOA in Redwood, California. This will be my first foray into tiny living, but with a twist, because it is truly a DMV-approved vehicle. The restrictions of a tiny home, you really don't have to worry about. I've been a camper since 2005 when I pulled my first RV from North Carolina to Colorado and camped in Estes Park. This trip was to be life-affirming, but it was more grueling than it had to be. I rented a well-used Class C motorized vehicle through Go RVing, and for most of my trip out west, this time it would be a recreation of that trip with the twist. If you're going to buy an obnoxious Bubba truck in Texas where everything is bigger and the best car agent Terry Hill can get you said Bubba, big Bubba truck with an illegal lift and an engine to tow a barn, you have to sign on the dotted line. It doesn't matter if it won't fit in your garage or anywhere on earth for that matter. You get a travel trailer, get a hitch for 10 to 15,000 pounds with sway control to survive those winds with tip warnings across the plains, and get travel trailer that's suited for your tiny needs. Instead of a motorized Class A or Class C, I would get a refurbished travel trailer by holiday with an amazing kitchen, washer and dryer, retractable table, upgraded bath, and memory foam full mattress with a motorized hitch for easy connection with a sway bar for that stability and a truly home, which is a truly home on wheels. If you buy an old rig or an RV and you know you're not going to resell it, at least for a while, and with plans to live in it, ball out, make it your showpiece, make it your home. The interior of your rig is made even more jollier with fresh flowers. No hydrangeas were safe west of the Mississippi River. The ability to soak in a tub or take a hot shower without a threat of athlete's foot or eaten alive by bugs makes the end of a long driving day with your personal bathroom most worth it. A combination washer and dryer confined to a small space is key to the lesson, to lessen the trial of making sure you have enough quarters to feed dryers that will never dry your clothes. A real kitchen with a two-way refrigerator, a real propane stove is key to survival and eating well on the road. Also, creating a welcoming outside space to ride and to enjoy the few days of sun in the rainforest that is Oregon is key to creating your own personal mobile sanctuary. I crossed the U.S. by myself and camped in KOA and Good Sam sites the entire trip. As I stated before, I have been a member of KOA since 2005, 12 years before I bought my RV. If I had known about the KOA Get Out There KOA contest, the KOA could actually have paid most of my fees going out west, because I would have blogged like I'm doing now, and it would have paid, and I could have won and paid for all of my trip, the entire trip. There are other contests. There are other contests through outdoorsy and other reputable sites that assist in trips such as this. And if you wanted to assist others in transporting their goods, like through the platform Roadie, is another good way to get paid while you drive. My first stop was the Manchester KOA in Tennessee with a day trip to stock on the Tennessee No. 27 whiskey, quality and premium American whiskey for evening cocktail hour. This would be last me about 10 months until one of my guests at my Airbnb in North Carolina decided to drink it all, and this would be one of the many reasons why I ended my foray as a host, but I digress. Next stop was Arkansas's Hot Spring. In spite of some of the shady moral reasons associated with President Clinton, he did come from one of the most unexpectedly beautiful states in the South. Okay, being the bougie individual that I am, my suggestion is to check into one of the many hot spring spas in Hot Springs, the Arlington, one of the many spots on Bathhouse Row, and check out the pools at the Hot Springs National Park. Just check in since aware, take in the water because you'll be camping another 3,000 miles, and why not? Pull in early to dig for diamonds in Arkansas and take a soak before you hit the road again. Then once you get back on the road, this is showing a view of the tip warning sign in Wyoming, where you can get wind gusts up to 65 miles per hour rolling over across the prairie that has been known to tip over 18-wheelers. You're at the mercy of Mother Nature, but you appreciate the vastness, the power of the Creator. You experience truly big sky country, which I never experienced there, where wind combines were taller than most buildings in the southeast. There were hills and rock formations. There is just a majesty and beauty to all of that vastness. Don't rush. Take time to enjoy the big sky country and even more impressive sunsets. And then I showed a picture of this would be the last sunset before I would get snuck in a late snowstorm and learned that my large tires with 35-inch wheels were indeed snow tires that really didn't require change. And at least that is what the chain tech told me at the chain station outside Reno. I would strongly suggest leaving late enough to go further north to hit Yellowstone National Park and visit the Crow Nation. I drove through snow and gully washers and then a rock slide to visit and drive through the giant sequoia. Yes, my truck may have been a little big to get through it, so I would have to drive around it. And this would be my last and my first glimpse of the Pacific as I would get on the 101 on my trip to the KOA Journey Campground in the Redwood Forest. My trip would end with far too few clear days with the sunlight coming over the mill casino where I would spend the next 8 months in my RV, crazy rain boots, and figuring out how to survive with all of that rain. And this is how I end this read. Now again, you have to hum the instrumental to the end of the Beverly Hillbillies in your head, because this is the closing. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to Felicia Nefro, and I would like to thank you guys for kindly dropping in. Please come back in a couple of days to this locality to find about the shenanigans and partake in the dream to travel all over the South. Sit a spell. Kick off your shoes. Y'all come back now again, you hear? And then I'm going to be writing about part two, Westward Fro time in North Bend, Oregon, camping at the Mill Casino, and how I won a month's camping fees at the casino. This ends this part of the read, and I will be spending the next few minutes editing my post for the client on Fiverr, as well as redoing this before I actually post it on Vocal. And I look forward to your comments and to see how I can improve. Being the progressive that I want to be, I'm going to take, as long as they're not trolly, I want to basically take all of those things into consideration. And my goal is only to improve and to entertain. Thanks for listening. And now to this part of the show, my daily affirmations. And I'm finding as I go along in my daily, just my daily work, I'm finding things that are positive and life affirming to me in some of the most unexpected places. For example, I write on the platform Fiverr. I became inspired from a request to just address correlation between women's suffrage and the anti-lynching laws. And most recently, is the requests are just as varied as reviewing a wedding venue that did a bride and her family wrong, as well as someone wanted to start posting about she was going to reboot her business, interior design business. And I'm finding that I can basically write about anything and put my swerve on it. And I am working on now rewriting the trip I wish I did take. And I want to encourage other people to take if you have to move across the country. But, and that's how I am able to write my affirmations. And also, what helps me is reading Unlearned by Humble the Poet. He's given me certain things just by writing the book. There's like a lot of truths in the book. And it also pushes us to look for truths in our own lives and to live our life and build the life that we want to live. So with that said, I want to leave you with these affirmations and intentions. I'm responsible for my own happiness, and I will create the life that I want. I'm going to not let everyone into my inner circle, and I'm not going to do anything that I really just don't like to do. I'm also not going to just continue to let negativity into my life. I'm going to be careful with people that want to speak a word into your life, because You don't really have to listen to it. You can have selective deafness, and that word may not be from God or for you in particular. The God I serve is perfectly capable of speaking directly to me, so please go and sit down somewhere. That's what I want to speak to those people, those self-proclaimed prophets. I'm grateful for the power of my mind, and I will let it find solutions needed to create positive change. And every day that I exercise, either creating this podcast, writing posts to social media, or creating posts for other clients, this is how I flex my mind, and I want to continue to be able to do that. And on that note, that wraps it, or that's, I'm going to wrap up this segment of Tennessee Froward's reading, and I hope you will join me next week as I tiptoe through the world of books, as well as stay tuned for what I plan on reading next. I'm going to invite you to navigate to Vocal and check out, it's actually vocalplus.com, and check out my latest post as far as my journey out west, and please just leave a comment and repost or tweet it out to other people so they can actually take a gander at it. Took me long enough to actually rewrite it. And let me know what you think of my take on the Beverly Hillbillies jingle. And don't forget to navigate to www.dalesangelsinc.com to check out all of the specials, as well as some of the nerdy stuff that I'm actually following. You can hit me up at TennesseeFroisReading@gmail.com to leave a comment. You can hit me up also on voicemail 423-463-0658. As long as it's not trolly, I may actually play or read the messages online. And I'm also on iTunes, Podcast, Stitcher, and I'm going to check out SoundCloud if I can get on without too much drama. And if you like what you're hearing, please don't hesitate to leave a 5-star review. Any positive, non-trolly reviews, I'll actually read those on air. As well as you can also navigate to the Deb 08 or 80 app. You can also try deb.app.link/questionable-post=1626 to leave a message online for me. And as long as it's non-trolly, I don't have a problem reading it. And just like Humble the Poet always says, this shit doesn't get any easier. We just get stronger. Embrace the struggle, because that's how you will establish who you are. And I firmly believe that. And thanks again for listening. And until next time.